Oh my gosh. Hey, if you were listening a second ago, that was us. Now we're here. It's weird. Anyway, this is Saki
Bama. That was the past.
That was the past. This is Saki
Bama. You have to go back and listen to the first 10 minutes of the last show. By that, I mean indie.
Yes.
Circuit.
The indie circuit.
To get that joke. So for those of you that do the BOGO hours of power.
Yes.
You're on the know. And for those of you that don't, go back and listen.
Get on the trolley. If you're those you don't know. Anyway, my name is Matt, with me as always.
Pro me.
And this is the Radio St. Pete exclusive, Saki Bama Gogo.
I love how you go back and forth on that with me, with you thing. You sometimes, with you usually, with you always. So, what do you say when I'm not there? This is Mal, this is Pro me not here tonight.
I point at my cat, Destructo. I'm like, this is Destructo, who's always just laying around being lounging and cool. My cat's a pretty cool cat. He's got it going on. He's low and lazy. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a big old low and lazy cat. Yeah. It's like, all right, man, he's got it figured out.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? But, you know, we were talking about Facebook at the end of that, the last show, the Indie Circuit. Yeah. And now I was like, I just read that Google tracks us even when our stuff's shut off. I'm like, well, I don't want that at all. But I'm not going to read those. I agree things, so I guess I've already agreed to it.
Well, probably. Apparently there is a place you can officially turn it off, but it's kind of like hidden in the bottom of a drawer at a basement that has no stairwell down to it, in a room where the lights don't work that's full of rats, and you know.
But then part of me, because I was thinking about this in the drive home. I'm like, thinking about that, and I was like, well, what do I care if they know where I am? It's Google. I mean, I don't care. I know anytime you do anything, the people with the foil hats go, oh my God. And, you know, and like Jello Biafra writes a book about it and screams. And then the other side of it goes, no, this is all for good. No evil here. And I'm in the middle going, well, it's probably kind of evil, but it's also they're selling it. And also I don't care if they know where I am, because I'm just driving to my work and then my home and then my work again and my home. And
I'll tell you, I can tell you because I come.
He's in the know.
I work in an industry that deals with online marketing.
And I work in an industry of evil, so we both know a little bit.
And I can tell you that this whole tracking thing is a big deal, but it's at a big deal that's beyond politicians' ability to conceive of. It's beyond our current regulators' ability to really fully understand. Because if they did, a lot of what we do in online marketing would probably be illegal.
Oh, for sure.
Well, because here,
he's like, but wait, let me tell you all about it. you'll be horrified to even be online listening to our show.
You will be, actually.
I know. I've heard.
So here's why tracking is a big deal. Especially, it's particularly important on a mobile device because we have a vendor and they are not unique or singular in this ability. But we have a vendor that can target advertising to very, very specific audiences. And they do that by tracking a single device over a long period of time. So when you think of online marketing and them using your location, you think, well, I'm at Walmart right now and they're feeding me an ad to somebody that might be at Walmart. Or I'm at Wendy's right now and I might get an ad for Burger King because I'm at Wendy's. But they're playing a much longer game. They will watch you for days or weeks or months. Because they can track your device. They don't know who you are. They don't know you by name.
I've heard that's a scam though too. They know who I am.
I mean, they could depending on the level of effort that they want to put into it, and with machine learning that's getting constantly easier. Yeah. But they don't specifically know your Mao.
Right.
They just know you're a person. And what they know is that they know where you went today, they know where you went yesterday, they know where you went the day before, and they begin to build a profile on you. So I'll put it to you this way. If you're a person who they see goes to Walmart and also goes to Taco Bell regularly.
Every Thursday.
And also goes to GameStop. They build a profile on the kind of person you are, and they can go to a third-party company that's specifically looking to target that kind of person. Now, let's say you go to Target, and they also notice that you go to a supplement shop or like a GMC on a regular basis, and you also go to a yoga shop location. They build a completely different profile based on that and can target specific things to you, to lifestyle things that are specifically meant to appeal to that audience. Now you think, well, what's the big deal about that? You know, they're giving me ads that are on things that I might actually be more interested in. But that's the thing, is what they're doing is they're finding things that might be more appealing to you, things you're more likely to pull the trigger on, and then curating ads to specifically target you. Which means that they're looking for ways to trick you, so to speak, into spending more money. You know, that's the thing about old school advertising. Is old school advertising, they'd be like, all right, certain kinds of people read Playboy, certain kinds of people read Time Life. which of those audiences do you want? Yeah, exactly. And that was about as sophisticated as it really got.
Oh, it's come a long way, baby.
But it's come a long way now to a point where it's almost like they're taking advantage of
triggers, how naive we are.
Of triggers in people that people don't even know are there.
There's been numerous times in my life, and that's kind of, I've reflected upon it, which has changed my behavior, where I bought stuff because it was on sale or it was a super sale and I might need this. It's all BS. And I threw so much of that stuff away that I bought on Black Friday or that I, that was on this super sale. I just don't do it anymore. Unless I'm doing it right now, I'm not buying it. But I learned from that. And the only reason I learned from that is because I started analyzing where is my money going. And I work pretty tediously for my money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make people work very hard to get it from me. And even be a little bit rougher with people when they want to take my money. That stuff, it targets it,
And the thing with Google is that it's even worse because not only can they track your locations and build these profiles, but they also have your search history. And if you're visiting a website that's on the Google Ad Network, which is a lot of them, they can also, even if you're not using Google to search, they know what pages you're visiting.
And
while it's not so much of and in that regard, it's not so much that they're building a secret database on Mal that they can blackmail Mal down the road, but they're building a profile about things.
Good luck.
But they're building a profile about you in a lot of ways that you don't realize. Yeah. Like, you're into guns. They probably know that.
Yeah.
Just based on searches, you're into pinball. They know that too. Maybe you found a weird lump and you did a search to find out if that's something you need to have looked into.
They know
that too.
And it's
so, they're not going to, it's not like they're planning to take over the world with this, but what they're doing is they're using all of this to become your friend in the online space. So you're passively seeing things that you're more likely to click on it's almost as if the internet knows what you need.
Well, you can see that too, because a lot of times they're bad at it. Like you click on something and all of a sudden Lowe's pops up because you look for a new hammer.
Oh yeah, and then it follows you.
And then just dumb banners start popping up because of cookies or whatever. I'm like, and
you think, but even that's the more blunt version of it. But that's not even them being bad at it. That's a reinforcement thing. That's called retargeting.
Yeah.
When you go to a site and visit it and then leave without buying, the purchases haunt you.
Yeah.
Across the web, they're not even trying to be subtle. They're trying to remind you, hey, you needed a hammer.
Yeah, remember?
We have a hammer, and it's 20% less than theirs.
Well, and for those of you who are not drooling on yourselves, here's some music that'll wake you up and get you back into the realm of not online. Wait, you're listening online. Oh, my God. They're tracking you right now. Don't worry about it. I'll play something that'll scream that tracking right off of your computer.
But for the record, before you hit that music thing, Facebook is probably 100 times more dangerous than Google.
Well, let's
because they know even more about you.
Luckily,
they know who you are.
I know a rage-filled band that'll scream them right off of your computer. Here's The Bat.
You heard Marsalis threw Tony Rockyhara out a four-story window for giving me a foot massage? Mm-hmm. Can you believe that?
Well, I mean, at the time I was told it sounded reasonable.
Marsalis throwing Tony out of a four-story window. Massaging my feet seemed reasonable.
No, it seemed excessive, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I'm Spider Pig does whatever a spider pig does. Can he swing from a web? No, he can't. He's a pig. Look out, he is a spider pig.
See, didn't I tell you that would scream that right off of your... That was The Bat off of the official The Bat Club. Official The Bat Club. Sorry. Wow, my brain. I played Teenage Letter, I Feel Good, Perversion, and Summertime Blues. A four-peat? That's just insanity. Oh, well, what are you going
to
do?
So I have to point something out, and I'm pretty sure I've done this in the past, but I have to again tonight. Is the genius of your name is that you can read it upside down or right side up, and it's the same thing.
Yep. Sure
I'm
is.
Just looking at it on your headphones sideways, and I'm like, and I turned my head one way, and then I turned my head the other way, and I was like, and again, I'm probably getting Alzheimer's because I'm pretty sure I've maybe commented on this once in the past. But
and Mao is spelled with a small M, large uppercase O, and a small W, so it's kind of like a weird,
yeah.
It's like a logo inside of an enigma inside of a vest. So I don't know. I was watching, this is totally off topic because I don't want to talk on anything deep anymore. I was watching a really bad Seagal movie.
Wow, talk about a 180 in conversation. When you said not deep anymore, you weren't joking.
Now, bear with me, folks. Let me talk about my thought process, then I'll talk about the movie. I was sitting there, I was like, well, he was really big in the 80s, you know.
Well, he's really big now. Have you seen photos of him? He's ballooned a lot. Yeah. He's huge in the aughts.
He's dropped off. I was like, well, he dropped off, but this movie was from 2003 or 2006. No, it was 2003. So I was like, he hasn't hit straight to video a total crap town, because I'll tell you what, the ones he's doing now, he's like not even in them, or like they'll film him just sitting at a table like going, yeah, that's what we should do. He thinks he's like the Godfather. And then they'll have some nobodies running around shooting stuff, and they're like, oh, what should we do, Steven Seagal? And he's like, and then it'll be a totally different day, totally different everything. Lighting's all bad. And he's sitting at a table. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to shoot him up and we're going to kill him. And that's what we're going to do. And they're really hilariously horrible. Like, it's not even him doing the stunts anymore. Just somebody with some fat thing with a ponytail. I should grow a ponytail. I could do that. But anyway, but I was like watching. I was like, this one's probably before it got horrible. I was wrong. It was so bad. Like, and I'm watching this thing, and it was just crap town. I don't even remember the name of it because it was just garbage. And there was some girl who comes in, and she takes her top off. She's there for that thing. Every action movie has that thing, like a girl naked. Here's boobs. Okay, remember being 14? Yeah, isn't it great? So then she runs off. And I started thinking, I was like, I wonder if somebody like was at a casting couch. Like, and he was like, okay, now I want you to take off your clothing. Like, he was trying to be like the Harvey Weinstein, and the actress was like, no, I'm not. You're Steven Seagal. You're not Harvey Weinstein. And they like laugh at him and walk out. Like, yeah. I wonder how many times that happened. Cause you know, it had to have, like, he had to try and put the moves on, and somebody was like, no, I'm sorry. I have self-respect and you're just Steven Seagal. And he like, they left, you know? And then that one that said, okay, I'll show you my moves. And she got the job. But I don't know if you'd want that job anyway. It was just funny. It was just a bad movie.
You know, it's funny because people like him, like, who's that guy? Who's that other guy that was in Top Gun? I can't think of his name right now. Who kind of had a big acting career and then sort of dropped off a ledge.
Val Kilmer?
Yeah.
Oh.
People like him. People like Val Kilmer. Other ones, you know, like, there's a tendency. You see them today and you think, like, wow, I kind of feel bad for that person because, but
never feel bad for Seagal. He's a horrible human being.
Well, I mean, but like Val Kilmer, okay, like he gained a lot of weight, kind of lost his ability to be a leading man and just about everything. And it's like, I think like with people like him, I kind of compare him in my mind to the more famous guy that still has a career, that has a movie that's in theaters now, whose name I can't think of either. The Scientology guy.
Oh, little tiny Tom Cruise.
Yes, Tom Cruise. And then I remember, well, you know, for a middle-aged guy, Keanu Reeves, or not Keanu Reeves, what's his name? Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer's doing better than most.
Yeah,
you know,
star of Top Secret, which is one of the funniest movies ever made.
He's got residuals. If he was going to be 75 pounds overweight at the age he's at, he might as well have, you know, royalties still coming in and not really have to work another day in his life.
Fine, yeah.
So yeah, I don't feel sorry for you, Val. You know. Yeah.
But Seagal, you know, he doesn't have any money. I mean, he has money, but it's, I don't know. You, like, But that, like,
but yeah, I've heard Seagal's like, a horrible person. Yeah, that's, I don't know that personally, but
he believes what he thinks. Like, I'm not what
most
he
people do.
No, he believes like he drank his own Kool-Aid. He thinks he's like really that
this
cool
amazing actor.
And you're like, oh my god, you're horrible. You're a horrible person. First of all, like your soul is rotted, you know. But whatever. It was just I was watching. I was like, I wonder if that ever happened. Like somebody just laughed at him and left as he was trying to make them take off their clothing.
Hopefully.
I know.
If not, I hope it's because it never actually happened, not because they all took him seriously.
At this point, a starlet could have a brisk walk and get away from him. He's not like, he'd be like, run away from the Jabba the Hutt. You're like, well, just skip. Just skip a little bit. You're going to be out of the range. You know, you can get to a taxi or an Uber. All right, hell, here's some 5678s for your brains.
Yeah. money as the
Thank you. You gotta give me a ride.
I'm way too big to drive to the Devil's House.
On a mysterious island in the South China Sea, there is a fortress without walls, protected by an invincible army that needs no ordinary weapons. This is Enter the Dragon, the first martial arts film produced by a major Hollywood studio. John Saxon, U.S. Karate Champion Jim Kelly, and Black Belt Hall of Fame superstar Bruce Lee penetrate the secret chambers of Han's evil empire, discover its secret, and destroy. This is Enter the Dragon, where the world's greatest martial arts athletes meet the ultimate challenge with the most ancient and deadly of weapons, the human body. Enter the Dragon. From Warner Brothers, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Nobody!
Wow, that was the 5678s off of their golden hits. Of the 5678s, I played Boom Boom Girl, Jet Coaster, and Peter Gunn. I love that Peter Gunn theme. I've heard a couple different bands do it, and it's always interesting. I like when they do, like, different bands do different takes on stuff. Peter Gunn's kind of a famous one. It must be. It's very easy to play, so I think it's just one of those that people throw into their rotation, and what the heck, you know?
No.
I think as a world, we have to draw the line and say no more putting S on something to make it funny for an old person. Like the YouTubes, or I got to go on the internets. Stop it. So everyone stop. From this moment right now. Now, go now. Never do that again. If you do it, never do it again. And if somebody has it on their show or a movie, censor it.
Can we still put the word "the" in the front? Like,
no,
the YouTube.
No, no. Nope.
I mean, the internet is still technically the way you say that, but
you're not on the marijuana, YouTube,
the Facebook,
you're not the Google. You're not on the marijuana. You're not watching the Google. You're not. No, stop. Everyone, stop. This goes on to the got milk pile. Stop it. It's not funny. It was barely funny once.
You know, well, the got now milk was for the Dairy Farmers Association of America. That was an important group. You know?
I think if I had a time machine, I would go back and murder whoever made that campaign.
Hey, it was very successful, though.
I know, but then it was got window treatment, got pinball, got asphalt, got dig, every getter done. God, you're glowing.
Well, how about I Heart Whatever? That was from the I Heart New York.
I don't mind. That campaign. One was okay. That one didn't bother me like the other stuff. You just
so everybody, you need to text Mao and you say I emoticon heart you.
No,
go.
No one hearts me. Yeah. And they're all smarter for it.
Hold on. Let me get my phone out here. Because that makes me sad.
I forget what I was even watching when they said, oh,
I'm going to send you a brotherly I Heart You.
Time to go on the YouTube. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to punch you in the face if I ever see you. But it was a star on TV, so I couldn't do that. But I should hit the writer. I could probably have access to the writer who wrote that line. And as another thing, I read a book from Frank Conniff, which is Mystery Science Theater's TV's Frank. It was a very funny book. He wrote the 25 Mystery Science Theater movies that didn't change my life in any way whatsoever. And it was like just essays, kind of general ramblings. It was a really funny book. I would suggest you get it. Seems like a nice guy.
Oh.
Anything? You got anything on that one? Okay. All right. Well, here's some music I know you all will heart. It's on the internets.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Yeah.
The next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
Ah, yes, that was nice. That was Red Bacteria Vacuum. I played Love Music, The Big Moon, and Fly. Well, we were talking.
They've been with us a long time.
Yeah, they have. They're
back
awesome.
In the VOD days.
And I think they have a couple new albums out. I really had to.
You have to talk up Audrey.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, it's time for my biannual. No.
Gift every pack. 2 years. Care pack.
How's every 2 years?
That's biannual. Okay. Semiannual is twice a year.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, my biannual. Can you give me some stuff, Audrey? Yeah, Benton Labels out of Japan. They're great, man. You go on their website, English friendly. They got tons of cool stuff. I still have that dang DVD I never watched yet. Of Lolita number 18, that's going to be an interesting watch. We were talking off air a little bit about, like, there's this thing called pensions. Now, if you're younger, if you still have cartilage in your knees, then you know what we're talking about.
If not, but I think the dictionary.com still has a definition for it.
Yeah. Yes. Or look it up on your phone. They used to give you, like, you'd save towards the future aside from Social Security. Yeah, well, it was called like a pension. It was a way of incentivizing.
Well, no, you saving towards the future is a 401k or a company match, but this is something else.
Yeah,
which means your employer is actually concerned about your retirement.
They were trying to figure out ways of having people stay
like forever.
Forever. That in the before time, that's what they wanted. Like,
they wanted you to start when you were 20, and they wanted you to retire.
Here's your gold watch. Thanks for all your time. See you later. Then somewhere along the line, somebody decided that was not cool.
Seems like in about the last 15 years.
Yeah, they said, that's not cool. We want people that don't know anything and just jump from job to job. That's what a great society is built on. And, you know, that's how Rome succeeded so well. And then that's what happened. And people,
you say that, and I immediately thought of the Spaceship Earth at Epcot, where, you know, everything's looking honky-dory, and then you go around a corner, and there's the smell.
That's what I was talking about, because we're making mistake after mistake here as a country.
You know, thinking about that, though, the one positive upside to all of this is that when... This has been a relatively short-lived thing up to this point. Yeah. And it's possible that this might self-correct.
You would hope so.
Within our career lifetimes, it's possible that this might self-correct when companies see the cost
of retraining.
Yeah. And the fact that they never seem to progress past a certain level because they can't keep people around long enough to get that institutional knowledge.
Now, one of the things I've noticed mostly about business... My big air quotes. I'm using air quotes today. I don't know why I hate that. Business isn't really that fast moving and dynamic and changing on a dime. It's kind of just business. Now, if you hire somebody that's fairly intelligent and pretty good at figuring stuff out, they can do the next thing you want to do. You just got to tell them what you need them to do. And you don't got to hire in some young kid who's, my resume said I took this in college, because the old guy might actually be able to do a better job because he has a concept of what work is. I'm not saying don't hire young people, and I am saying some stuff is specialized, but...
And some people do get stuck in a rut, but a lot of that has to do more with their employer and their job allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
Widget Factory had an entire department that fell victim to that, essentially, because there was a period when that particular department did not want... innovating.
Yeah, keep them dumb.
But then suddenly one day they needed that, and they found a whole group of people that couldn't do it because, you know, you've worked here for 20 years, and we've told you, if you need to get better at this, we'll train you, and we're not training you, so quit it.
Exactly. With JK, don't get better at anything. Yeah. But, you know, and it's one of those things where if you keep just telling people they're worthless and never having anyone there longer than 2 or 3 years... What are you going to do? What are you talking about? You know,
and really, how does a company really excel against competition when you're hiring their former employees and they're hiring yours? Like, what value? What? Exactly. How do you know what I mean?
You're just passing around a doobie.
I mean, you know, with the technology companies in particular, that one kind of blows my mind. Is that there aren't more non-compete clauses and stuff? Because if you got somebody working on AI at Google and they jump over to Facebook or they jump over to Apple, now they can't take the intellectual property they developed at Google with them, but they take all the knowledge they had in developing it with them, which means that that's a great person to start from square one at your competitors.
Give that man a pension. He'll stay there for years.
maybe three, maybe four.
I'm just, it's one of those things where you think of it's a bygone era, and that's fine. So whatever, it's no big deal. It's just something that I have won from a job. And now, when you look at your Social Security readout, okay, this is what I'll get per month. And I was like, and I have this, and that's almost enough to live on. So yay. Hope I make it. I probably won't though.
You know, and just one little quick thing, cause I know we're kind of up in the end. I worked for a bank one time, and we'd have old customers that would come in with like pension checks from a railroad. And they're like, I worked there when I was 16. I handed out sandwiches for a summer.
Nice. All right. Well, that's it for this week. My name's Mel, with me as always.
Promi.
See you next week for more Sake Bama Go-Go.